カスタイ
ム。今次の放送はファンによるファンのためのファン補充ポッドキャルチャーポッドキャストです。この番組はブランドスパンサーエリックの財布の敵を認定送ります。
Hey folks, how you doing this fine evening or day, depending on how this finds you? This is the Fan Holes Podcast, and we're doing one of our special episodes of Toku Thursdays. This is where we talk about all the various tokusatsu shows that have aired in Japan over the years, and even the ones that are airing currently. A little teaser of what we're going to be talking about today. Basically, tokusatsu is costume heroes. It's mainly known for Kamen Rider, which is, again, what we're going to be talking about today, specifically Gaim. But there's also a whole bunch of different ones. I'm sure you probably have heard the Kakaider episodes we've been doing. Well, I haven't. That was Justin and Derek. So, yeah, tokusatsu is a fun little playground to get into. As I mentioned, we are going to be talking Gaim today. We have been kind of plowing through the episodes on the old Toku Thursdays, and we're up to episode 4. This one is called He's Formed the Third Grape Rider, which I didn't know there was two other grape riders, but, you know, hey. However, before we get really in-depth about finding out who this mysterious third grape rider is, I want to go ahead and let my fellow fan holes who wanted to join me tonight speak up and let you know who's here.
Hey, this is Justin.
All right, and that's who's all here tonight, so I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of a brief summary of what entails this episode. They last left off, we had our good friend Kota in his orange arms racing with Team Baron's Kaito, who has just gotten his own armor, and he's now Kamen Rider Baron. He has the banana arms. They were on these Lockseed bikes. They busted through time and space and are now stuck in Helheim Forest. Well, maybe not stuck, but they're definitely trying to figure out what they're doing there. Kota lets Kaito know that he's been there before. This is not his first time digging around in the forest of Endor. He lets them know that there's fruit around the area, and these are actually lock seeds. When you touch them in a rider form, they turn from fruit into lock seeds. So that's kind of a neat way. Maybe Cid has been here. Who knows? I don't. But this is Kota's chance to find Yuya. In case you forgot who he was the leader of Team Gaim, who mysteriously disappeared in the first episode. Unfortunately, he does not find them. He actually finds some researchers. He doesn't get really any chance to do any digging, though, because almost immediately he's confronted with another armored rider. This one is pretty much clad all in white, and he has kind of a white and green motif going on. But then there's a deer invest who is kind of messing around with him, and Gaim is overpowered by the armored white rider. Then he gets kind of pretty much beaten the crap out of. And the whole time, the white armored rider is pretty much calling him, you know, basically a bitch. You know, it's like, you are not strong. You do not deserve to have that armor and, you know, that driver, and you're just, you know, you're not on this level, so... not too good. Anyway, Kaito and Kota do manage to get out of the Helheim Forest, thank goodness. And Kaito, he decides that he's going to pretty much start his own little cartel. He gets a hold of Team Raid Wild's Hase, who is the leader of that team. And we enter to a new character called Hideyasu Junichi. And I am horrible with Japanese names. He's leader of Team Invito. They're pretty much going to try to get together and take out Gaim, because as I stated in the previous episode, Gaim has been rocketing up the rankings, and that's just not good for the other teams. Mai and Michi are contacted by Kota's sister, but they're wanting them to check up on Kota, because after Kota got back, after being pretty much punked out, he doesn't know if he wants to be a Kamen Rider anymore. He's kind of butthurt, so he gives up the warring driver and just tells them to take it, and take it to, you know, their little base, the Gaim's base. There, Michi learns that Mai has also been to the Helheim Forest. And, you know, she doesn't know... She goes back and forth about Kota. Sometimes she seems like she really likes him and she wants to help him, and then sometimes she thinks that he does too much and he should do stuff for his own. And this is one of those times where she's not really sure that Kota is going to be able to get back in the saddle. However, Michi is like pretty okay that Kota will return. He's just having a tough time and he'll be back. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Michi goes to find Sid. Sid hangs out at this, I guess the best way to put it is a fruit bar, fruit restaurant, where they pretty much only serve fruity drinks and desserts made with fresh fruit and stuff. Sid's always in the back area of this little eatery. This is where Michi goes to him, and he uses his influence as being part of the Kirishima family that he wants his own warring driver. And, well, what do you know, using his guile and a little bit of his own shadiness, which we see a dark side from Michi a little bit here, he gets one. So Team Vito comes to Team Gaim stage, and now they're like, we're going to take this stage. Like I said, it's an ongoing thing. They have an Ichigo Lockseed, and a fight breaks out, and they don't have Gaim, though. They have no one who could really beat Team Invito, because the Ichigo Lockseed is a lot stronger than any of the Lockseeds they have. Michi reveals that he does indeed have his own warring driver, and using the Great Lockseed, he transforms into Kamen Rider Ryugen. And that's pretty much where we end off, with him being a badass. This is definitely an interesting episode, because I don't know if you heard the last one, and you should have. We are getting introduced to a lot of riders, and in this episode alone, we have the White Rider. I'll go ahead and spoil it for you, because the name doesn't really matter. I won't tell you who it is, though. He's Kamen Rider Zangetsu, and he has the melon arms. And we get Ryugen. So, what do you guys think? A lot happened in this episode.
Yeah, I said this in a previous episode. I hate Michi, and I think this is kind of like where it started for me. Like, you can see clearly in this episode, like, he's a little bit shady. Like, before he, like, made his little deal with Sid, he's like, you know, I'm going to be in charge one day, so maybe you should get on my side. Like, before that, like, I just figured he was kind of like, you know, the rich kid who, like, wants to get away from his, you know, his schoolwork. He wants to get away from, you know, the pressure of, like, living up to his family's ideals for him. And, like, you know, he was just kind of, like, I guess, slumming it with these kids who were dancing. And, you know, probably while he was hanging out, he met Mai and kind of fell for her. And that's what I figured his backstory was. But then in this episode, you see, he's kind of sketchy himself. Like, when he wants something, like, he does whatever he thinks he can get away with, and he usually gets it. So that's how he got himself a warring driver, and he'll get even more sketchy and even more like of a jerk later on as the series goes. But this is the start of it.
The jerkening of Michi. Yeah. He definitely doesn't come off as evil or anything in this episode, but he definitely comes off as someone who's not just the little bookish school kid that he has in the first three episodes. We're already getting into more layers with Michi. You know, he's not just like, oh, I don't know if I want to learn all this stuff. I want to dance. And it's like, I don't know if it's just about that now. You know?
Yeah. I guess maybe I'm looking
more
at
that
this,
meets the eye with
like,
this guy.
I think maybe it's more of me looking at this as someone who has seen like all the current episodes, and I'm like, that's colored my perception. Well, Like Tony said, like, Michi isn't evil at this point. Like, he's not, like, out to, like, hurt anyone. He's kind of, you could argue at this point what he's doing for his friends. You know, he's doing it for Kota so that Kota, you know, doesn't have to go through any of these hardships anymore. And he's doing it for Mai because, you know, he clearly loves her and wants to protect her. So, like, you know, like I said, he's not evil. He's not doing it, like, out of spite or meanness or anything. He's just kind of, like, I guess, you know, it's like they say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, like, he's on the road now, and, like, these are his good intentions, but, like, later on, you'll see, like, his intentions not so good.
Yeah, he definitely goes through an arc, especially, like I said, me and Justin are on episode 32 now, so, yeah, we were a little bit ahead, but we won't spoil it for you guys, but just to let you know, Yeah, just keep an eye on Mitchie. I think would be a good good way to put it. He's definitely interesting. Speaking of not spoiling anything, what'd you guys think about the mysterious white Kamen Rider who appeared in the Helheim Forest?
Well, I guess clearly he's kind of like a badass because he like handily like defeated Kota, which I guess, you know, at this point Kota's only fought, you know, Invis. You know, he didn't even fight Kaito when Kaito turned into banana arms. He just kind of like, you know, they had their little race and then went to the forest and then got out of there and, you know, they fought the monster or whatever. But like, this is the first time that Kota's ever fought, you know, another rider like one-on-one, and he was easily defeated. And what I liked about it is later on you see him, he's kind of just like hunched down in his room, like he seems to be pretty depressed, like he's, you know, he's gave up and he's really down on himself, and he's feeling sorry for himself, and he keeps going on, he's like, you know, this isn't a game, he's like, this belt was, you know, created for a purpose more than, you know, just fighting this game, you know, he's like, this is, there's something more to this. And what the interesting thing is, like, everything he says, like, you think he's feeling sorry for himself, but like everything he says when he's like down on himself, like, he's actually completely right, which we'll see later on.
Yeah, one of the things that's really interesting, you know, not only does the white Kamen Rider beat the crap out of him and he lays the smackdown on him, but he also trash talks him, and he just, like, I don't even know if the physical beatdown was as bad as just all the crap he was just laying on him. He was just pretty much saying he was worthless. Like, you're not, you know, on this level, you know, you don't know what you're doing here, you know, you shouldn't even have the belt. I think that definitely, I think that also, like, really messed with Kota's head. He was just like, maybe I do suck, you know. I felt bad for Kota. Like you said, when he was like just slumped down in his room and he's just out of it, you know, it's you feel bad for him, but like you said, it's, he's not really having a pity party, he's kind of having a moment of reflection, like,
yeah,
but he's not being a whiny butt, he's just questioning himself and he's being more reflective, and this is something that'll play up more as the series goes along. Again, it's hard not to spoil things because like I said, the episodes are so linear, they like tie into each other so well. But let me just put it this way. If you're watching the episodes and you kind of get the idea that Kota's kind of a whiny butt, he's not. He definitely progresses as the series goes along. So anybody who has that kind of feeling of, you know, Shinji from, like, you know, you know, Evangelion and stuff, no. He's not going to be one of those kind of sort of heroes. He definitely changes as the show goes along. I guess, like, the big thing is there is definitely something going on in Helheim because not only are there Loxies and there's Invis and there's like this weird thing that where they're playing this Invis game, but we see researchers too, and obviously the armored white rider was trying to keep Kota from them. So is that another interesting mystery for you, Justin, to know that there's not just riders in the forest, but actually like researchers and scientists?
Yeah, like I said on the previous episode, you're kind of wondering, like, you know, where these drivers are coming from, like, where is Cid getting the technology? And, you know, you're kind of wondering what's going on in Helheim Forest and all this. And now you kind of see that there are, like, scientists, like, taking samples of the forest and the fruits. You've got a rider in there protecting them. And he's, like, viciously attacks Kota just because Kota's there. So you're kind of wondering, like, exactly what's going on, like, is with this, you know, this dimension. Like, why are these people there, like, taking measurements to begin with? You know, like, it's kind of a mystery.
Yeah, you know, I believe if Jerry Seinfeld was on our podcast, he'd be like, what's the deal with the researchers in Helheim? I guess the last thing I want to touch on before we finish up this episode is, while we have kind of focused on Kota and Mitchie, Kaito actually does have a pretty little good part in this episode because he's trying to bring in a few of the other rival gangs under one umbrella to fight Gaim. This is where we get, you know, introduced formally to Hase, or is it Hayes? I always say Hase. Yeah, anyway. And Junichi. Do you think this is a good example of how Kaito plays into the power game? You know, he's like, I can make these guys do my dirty work for me. Because at this point, he doesn't really consider Gaim a threat. He just wants them kind of tested, almost. He's like, he's doing this weird thing where he's seeing how strong Kota and Gaim is, and, like, that plays into a devious nature. But again, unlike Michi, who seems to have a dark side, Kaito is very, you know, obvious with his manipulations. You know, he's like, you know, Team Baron is better than you guys, but, you know, if we team up, we could take out Team Gaim. And I'll let Gaim know this. I don't care. So, I mean, do you think Kaito is actually a little bit more honorable in this episode than Michi?
Yeah. There are times I feel like Kaito is a little one-dimensional with his, like, crazy obsession with strength and being the strongest and testing the strongest and keeping his power and acquiring more power. Like sometimes I think he's a little too obsessed with that. But like, there are moments later on you'll see where he, like, you know, he has his reasons for, like, wanting this power, and he has kind of a interesting childhood, at least. He has his reasons. But, like, I do think it's interesting he made this little alliance with, you know, guys from two different dance groups, and we'll see how that plays out later on. But yeah, like, I like Kaito, but sometimes, I think he's a little bit too one-dimensional or, like, predictable, I guess.
Yeah, he sometimes falls too easily into the bad guy role. You, like, he's not portrayed as the bad guy, but just how he's presented and how he's written. It's like, oh, well, he must be the bad guy, you know, at least in the first, you know, early episodes. He does change as the show goes on.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, I've said this, I think, for every episode that we've reviewed. It's a good show. You guys should definitely check it out. It's the current show running right now. Gaim is the newest, quote-unquote. Anybody listening to this, you're going to be behind. Me and Justin are way ahead of you guys. However, this is the current airing show, so if you watch this, you'll be watching the newest show airing in Japan right now. So that's always good. It's got the latest effects and everything, so it looks very, very new, because it is new. Yeah, I just really dig this show. I'm glad you guys have been listening to us review it and go over our thoughts on it. Hopefully it's pulled you into the Kamen Rider universe. That's what happened to me. I didn't give a shit about Kamen Rider, and then Justin and Derek and, you know, a bunch of other guys who post on the board we go to talk this show up, and I'm like, whatever, I'll watch it. Oh my god, this is pretty cool. Yes, I mean, it'll definitely suck you in. As always, there is going to be another episode that ties into this episode. It's a very linear series, and we will be reviewing it. I appreciate you guys listening to all the Fan Holes podcasts. Like I said, we have Mobile Suit Mondays, we have Sentai Saturdays, we have Toku Thursdays, we have, you know, all these shows that you guys can check out, as well as the Fan Holes podcast proper. As far as connecting with us and letting us know what you think, we have Facebook, we have Twitter, we have an email, fanholespodcast@gmail.com. You can also look at our Tumblr. We have some cool art on there. I think we have a little special project that's either going up soon or has already been up, and it's a little funny thing that we enjoy doing. All kinds of ways to get your pop culture fix. We try to give you the best ways to get your laugh on about all things pop culture. So send us some feedback, give us some love, or give us some hate. We don't care. We'll read any kind of comment you send us, whether you love us or hate us. We enjoy feedback. But until then, we hope you keep listening to these shows, and we'll be back with another Toku Thursdays very soon. But until then, this is Tony.
Hey, this is Justin.
And we will be seeing you next time on the Fan Holes Toku Thursdays or Fan Holes Podcast.
Peace.
Everybody look at your pants.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's kind of weird, Mike. I know you're not probably going to get into this show, but one of the underlying themes, at least especially in the first, like, 10 or so episodes, is them challenging each other to, like, you know, who gets to own the stage. You know, everybody wants Gaim stage for some reason.
Gaim? What's a Gaim? Oh, a Gaim.
Pies, pies.
Pies. People are gonna, like, shit their pants when they see freaking fruit basket Kamen Rider. I did a little fanboy squeal when it happened. Not even a lot. Fruit basket. Beat that ass. Jan may not be here. Yanni, can you hear me? Jan.